Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, and I welcome you to another exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease, heart failure, and organ donation, and everything related to that in today's ever-changing world. I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest today an inspiring leader in her local organ donation community and in the global health community, Ariana Motlog. Ariana Motlog is a Miami Palmetto Senior High School sophomore. Born in Iran, Ariana immigrated to the United States in 2010. She is a passionate organ donation advocate and is pursuing a future career in science and looking to gain experience through high school. Ariana's journey started with learning about her father's polycystic kidney disease, a genetic condition that she may have one day, and his need for a kidney transplant. Seeing how greatly this has affected their family's normal ways of life, Ariana has tried to use her knowledge to educate and help others. She volunteers at her local OPO, the Life Alliance at University of Miami, started the First SODA Student for Organ Donation Advocacy chapter in South Florida, and continues to spread awareness through publications, social media, local events, and podcasts like this one. Ariana, welcome to The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter.
Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, thank you. So just to get started, what was growing up like in Iran for you? Why don't we start with that?
Well, contrary to many people's belief in the U.S., I loved growing up there. I had friends there. I went to a public school where I learned both English and Farsi. All my family was there, including like my grandparents, my aunts, so huge family gatherings and everything. And the food, the culture, loved it, traveled a lot. And then when we moved here, things obviously changed a lot. And actually, if it wasn't for me moving here, I might have never even been here talking to you or have ever started my advocacy journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a travel lover, too. I would love to go there as well. Right now, traveling is difficult for all of us.
Yes.
On a personal level, I'm kind of limited because I'm waiting for a heart transplant myself and I have an LVAD. But I do some traveling. But right now with COVID, we can't really go too far. So you are involved in organ donation, and that started with the fact that your dad was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease, PKD. Tell us a little bit about that and why you're involved in organ donation.
I think my advocacy journey started about a year ago, around this time in the summer. I knew my dad had a kidney condition, but it wasn't till last summer when things changed a lot for the better and the worse. So last summer, my dad was in the process of going on the national transplant waiting list, working with the hospital, Cleveland Clinic, social workers, getting his disability from the government. And so everything last summer was just like hectic. And I was just imagining like there's so many people out there that need transplants and they have families too, like me, and how it affects their families. And really when I started to learn that there's so many people that don't know about this, is actually when my dad and I were talking to our neighbor, and my dad mentioned his condition and that he needs a transplant. And our neighbor was sort of surprised in a matter that you can actually have a kidney transplant and that you can have a condition with your kidney, actually. So that's when I really started to understand that there's so much lack of information and misinformation out there. And I just started researching myself, and I ran across our local OPO and other organizations. That's how I started.
Yeah. So I just want to interrupt for you for a second because you're telling us so many things. It's so impressive that you understand this. But one thing I just want to agree with you on is that it seems as though that people in general don't know about these things because they're not affected by it personally.
Exactly.
I know that as a speaker on congestive heart failure, that's my wheelhouse, basically, because that's the condition I've had for so long. I was a professional speaker in that area, and just getting people to listen is difficult because if they're not involved in it, they kind of don't want to hear about it, except for the few curious ones. So you make a good point about that. And thank you for that. So your father right now has not received a kidney, but he's on the list.
Correct.
And so how is his health right now?
Currently less than 20% of his kidneys work. So he's at, I believe, end of stage 5 BKD, which is the last stage before dialysis. I believe you have to reach 16% kidney function to go on dialysis. So what he does is he's just trying to keep it at that level so he doesn't reach dialysis. But even if he doesn't right now in his health, there are so many side effects that come with PKD that people might not know about. For example, one of the biggest ones is that it affects his other organs. So now he has polycystic liver disease too.
Oh my.
And all these things affect, how do I mention it, his health, mental health. And for example, recently he becomes like later to respond to something, or his, it affects his blood pressure that goes higher and other small things like that.
Yeah, and certainly it's all connected. I can tell you that when I was in the hospital waiting for a heart transplant, which I already was, having gotten the LVAD finally, but the thing that they were watching most was my kidneys. It was interesting. It's all connected. And so when one is wrong, I think it does negatively affect the other organ systems, and people don't realize that also. I think that's great that you point that out. What are some of the things that he does to maintain his health?
The biggest thing he does is his diet. So about a year ago, around the same time he was going on the waiting list, I believe, he went vegan, completely vegan. And another thing he did, that he researched the foods and certain minerals and vitamins that he can't eat. For example, potassium. It's really bad for him, for his kidneys. So there's so many things he avoids eating. That's how he's been able to maintain the same level for a while now.
Yeah. And you've stated that PKD affects your family's normal way of life. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Obviously, eating is one of those things, and it affects the way that your family eats as well, yes?
Yes. It's interesting that you say that, and a lot of people understand that. It's when my dad started becoming vegan, well, I got naturally exposed to that. So our whole family, like, we started reducing meat because one of the side effects is high blood pressure. He started reducing his salt. So we naturally reduced our salt, like everyone. And now I think that's one positive way that it's affected our family. Everyone's diets become better. Mm-hmm. But there are other things. For example, when COVID started, although everyone was trying to be cautious, for us, we had to be very extra, because if my dad caught COVID, we didn't know what would happen, especially him being end of stage 5. So even now, as you mentioned, you don't travel a lot because of COVID and your condition. And so we can't do that either.
Right. Yeah. And again, interesting that you bring that up. When we were in the depths of the COVID in the middle of the year last year, so my son lives in Brooklyn and would take the train, come and see me at my home here in Long Island. But he stopped seeing me for a good while because there were instances where he had friends that would visit him in his apartment that had tested positive for COVID. And so during that time, those 2 weeks that he had to quarantine, he would avoid coming over to visit me, just to try and keep me safe. I was very fortunate, amazingly fortunate, not to get COVID during that whole year. But these are some of the things that you had to do. The other thing I'll mention is that a lot of people, and I know you're in high school, not college yet, but a lot of people were sort of laying blame to college kids for spreading the virus in gatherings they might have had at college. But it's very important for people to understand that young people really do not want to bring COVID into the house so that it'll negatively affect either their parents or their grandparents. And they feel very guilty about the idea that they might actually negatively affect the health of their parents. So I think people should understand that. Young people are very much aware of that, like you, will change their lifestyle in order to avoid bringing COVID into the house. So I commend you for that.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So have you been able to receive a vaccine yet?
I got my first dose and both my parents are vaccinated.
Oh, that's great. Okay, good. Yeah, that helps. I know that's the best thing that people can do is just get vaccinated right now. And we just have to follow what the CDC is giving us in terms of information so that we can stay safe and keep each other safe. And And so as far as being a carrier of this disease, you have to have a test, is that right? And when might you know if you have it?
Well, a genetic test can help determine if I do have it at any age. But when I really would show symptoms if I do have it is around the age of 35, because there's two different types of PKD. The one that my dad has is later in life. So that's when I'd really know. I haven't gotten a genetic test yet. So.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So are you waiting on getting a genetic test, or you're not anxious to get it right now because you're well, you don't have to get it?
I don't think we're really anxious to get it. It has been discussed, but we avoided it a little. But something I do to make sure I don't show symptoms right now is annually, for example, I get ultrasounds of my kidney, other blood work, complete blood work to show my other, that can show other symptoms. Wow.
Yeah. So being very judicious as far as protecting yourself and making sure by going to the doctors that you don't have any signs of it yet. Wow. That's incredible. Yes. The things that you have had to do, in protecting your dad and yourself. Amazing. What do you hope to accomplish by creating the Student Organ Donation Association?
Well, our main goal is just educating students, especially our generation, I would say, because there's still, as I mentioned, there's so much misinformation and lack of information in the same way. That's our main goal. But we try to get students, teachers, parents, everyone registered as organ donors. And we conduct other fun activities at school, trying to educate people and not make it as boring as it may sound.
Oh, yeah, it's not boring. And these things you're doing are amazing. It's really a feather in the cap of people who are young like you that are already trying to help people in the global community. And so important, because then more young people will obviously sign on the line for their at the Motor Vehicle Bureau, you know, on their license to be an organ donor. It's amazing what you're doing. What's the Life Alliance Organization Recovery Agency?
Life Alliance is an OPO, organ procurement organization. They're part of University of Miami's surgical branch. And as a volunteer there during COVID, we haven't done much in-person work, but we just help advocate. For example, I'm participating in the Run for Life as a volunteer. Organ procurement organizations, for anyone who doesn't know, they're basically the connection between in someone is in need of an organ, any organ, and someone who's donating it. But it's a great place to start an advocacy journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, the OPOs are so important in bridging that gap. And you mentioned the Red Cross. I got to tell you, so the first, you know, Red Cross has been around for probably hundreds of years at this point, and I didn't really know what the Red Cross did until I had an experience that was interesting in Nepal a number of years ago, about half a dozen years ago, where we were present as tourists when the earthquake hit in Nepal. It was a 7.8 earthquake. And we were actually,
wow.
Yeah. And the group that I was traveling with, we were trapped, if you will, in Nepal for several days because the airports closed. And we were allowed to stay on the grounds of the hotel on the grass where we slept for several nights. But what happened was the Red Cross had a presence there. All of a sudden, there was a Red Cross tent. I, as a heart failure patient, needed medication. And the Red Cross told me that they would get me my medication because it was running out. I only took a certain amount. The Red Cross told me they would get me medication. They would have it helicoptered in to the site where the hotel was in Nepal to get me my medication. They were amazing. So I found out that the Red Cross really does many good things. So what do you do with the Red Cross?
Well, that's amazing, your experience. Unfortunately, as a youth volunteer there, that's not the type of volunteer work I do, going out in person in disasters. But what I do is I just volunteer online from home. They have a lot of opportunities for youth that, for example, on social media, we can share their information. We can start clubs, actually, at our schools. So that's one thing I'd like to do in the future. Another thing I do is they provide courses, training courses, and a variety of topics.
Yeah, so many things. And obviously you can get young people, and anybody listening, any young people listening, or people who are parents of young people can get involved in organ donation in their communities, right?
Yes. I think the OPOs are the easiest way to start for me. That's mm-hmm. how I started.
Yeah. Amazing. The work that you've done is so amazing. And so Ariana, you are a music fan. Like me, you're a guitar player, I think. So what kind of music do you like to play on your guitar?
Well, still, I'm still learning how to play the guitar. I've played for a few years, but I can't say I have a favorite music.
And that's good, because all music is good. I started at 8 years old. I'm 65 now. I haven't played in a few years. I pick it up now and again, but I'm so busy that I haven't really put enough time into it. But it's really something. A lot of people use it sort of, as therapy, if you will, to relax. So I think it's good that you continue to play and do play all kinds of music, even stuff from my generation you would enjoy.
Yes, that's interesting. You say you started playing at 8 years old. That's when I started playing too. But there was a few year gap in between. So I had to relearn.
Believe it or not, I learned to play classical guitar. I was at, 9 years old when I started classical guitar lessons. Segovia from Spain, learning the finger picking. So I was pretty good and continued to improve until about high school, where I was in a number of rock bands, if you will, playing guitar and bass and even keyboard. But then I stopped getting lessons and I sort of stalled out at that point. But I'm pretty good. I think if I picked it up, I could learn it again pretty easily. I think the main thing is my fingers hurt a little bit because I haven't been doing it. Because you have to condition the tips of
I can definitely remember
on
that.
On your left hand, it hurts a little bit when you press the strings. But keep doing it. Keep playing. Is there anything else that you want to leave our audience with in terms of your experience with PKD or the OPO that you'd like to talk about?
One thing I would like to mention is that because it's something I get a lot from, especially other students, when I'm trying to encourage other people to register as organ donors, is that although this depends on which state you live in, but in Florida, for example, you don't need your parent permission. You don't need your parent permission to register as an organ donor. And registering as an organ donor doesn't mean that you're going to be donating an organ as a living person. That is not what it means. It simply means that if in any accident something is to happen to you and you're eligible to donate, that's when it's going to happen. Because I was very surprised when I was at school. We just started our club and someone came up to me, one of our members, and I was like, oh my, I told my mom I'm joining SODA, Students for Organ Donation Advocates. And she was like, oh, do you have you don't have to donate an organ, do you? And I just laughed.
Yeah, no, but people don't know these things. So you have to educate them, which is what you're doing. Oh my, you're just doing wonderful things at school and you're going to be a terrific adult. It's a credit to your parents, by the way. This is no accident that you're wonderful. I am sure that I have not met them except to speak to your mother briefly, but I think that they must be incredible parents to have somebody like you as their daughter. So I commend both of you.
Thank you.
It's been my great honor to have you as my guest on The Heart of the Matter, Ari. On behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much for all that you've done for your local community and the global community with your incredibly inspiring personal story and with your dedication to your work in an effort to help others in the organ donation community, and for sharing this time with us. I hope we can do this again soon. I want a happy ending, when Dad gets his kidney and all that. Yeah,
of course.
Perfect. I look forward to that. That is our podcast for today. Please join me next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drhearttoheart.net for upcoming podcasts, or if you'd like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and several other platforms. All you have to do is search The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter. And until next time, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.